Mark chapter 6. The message today is convocations. I want to bring many passages to your attention. Let me just read a few. Mark chapter 6, verse 30. Our Savior has called forth the 12 apostles, sent them forth by two and two. They have gone and fulfilled their ministry, and in verse 30 it says, and the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus, and they told him all things whatsoever they had done, and whatsoever they had taught. And now, Matthew 18, this is one that those who gather to the name of the Lord are familiar with. Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And Luke 24, our Savior has been speaking to Cleopas and his companions on the road to Emmaus, and the Lord reveals himself to them in the breaking of bread, and it says in verse 33, and they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they rehearsed the things that happened in the way and how he was made known unto them in the breaking of the bread. And as they spake these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Now, Acts chapter 11, Acts 11, verse 25. Barnabas is gone and seen the assembly at Antioch. He's delighted and he sees what's needed. And in verse 26, it says, he went to Tarsus to seek for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that even for a whole year that they were gathered together with the church and taught much people, and that the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now, chapter 20, verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul discoursed with them, intending to depart on the morrow, and prolonged his speech until midnight. And just one more now that I will read to you in Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope, that it waver not, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day drawing nigh. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for these scriptures that tell us about the gathering together of the people of God. How many and how varied are these gatherings? And we desire that we could understand, in at least a small measure, their significance to us, and let us, our Father, be able to experience the blessings that can be ours by the gathering together of thy saints. We pray, our Father, that thy Spirit will impart power and illumination to the hearts of those who listen, and that our being together shall be a profitable time. So undertake for us, we pray. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, as you have promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The first thing I'd better do is to at least explain to you the meaning of the word convocations. That's the name of the thing I want to speak to you about. A convocation. Well, it's really a calling together of people. And once they're called together, it is an assembly. An assembly of people is a convocation, and to convoke is to call together people for an assembly. And so convocation is the assembling of people, the coming together of people, the meeting together of people, and their convocations. And there are various kinds of assemblings and meetings and comings together, and some of them are good and some of them are bad, and some of them are indifferent, of no consequence. But I specifically had Leviticus chapter 23 read, where the word convocations occurs, which means assemblings, and there is a word that prefaces it in certain verses, and it says this, holy convocation. So if you and I call a meeting together, it may be of no consequence. It may be an evil thing. Just as Adonijah, when he called all the people together to make him king, that was an evil convocation, contrary to the word of God. And there are, in religious circles, a constant calling together of meetings, and some of them are unessential, and some of them are detrimental to the spiritual health of the church. But, in Leviticus chapter 23, if God himself calls the assemblies holy convocations, holy gatherings together, then it distinguishes between ordinary assemblies and those that God calls. And so this morning, this is a holy convocation. It is a sacred convocation, whether you realize it or not, and whether that is your attitude of heart. If you could look upon a meeting like this as a holy assembly, your attitude would be different when you are here, and your attitude would be different as you anticipated coming to a meeting like this, because this is a holy convocation. In the Old Testament, they were given specific times to come together, and when these comings together occurred, not all of them were convocations. They all came, but God said, on the first day, I want all of you to come together, and on the last day, I want all of you to come together. In between, the people of God could worship as they were. But God said, I want you to come together with my other children at certain times. And so God wants his people to gather together. Think now. Is there a difference when your heart is full and you sing out to God, and when you come together with people of like faith and your voices unite and you sing to God and praise God? You say, yes. And is there a difference when you by yourself, alone, open the Bible and seek to hear the voice of God? Or when there is a holy convocation like this, and the servant of the Lord is invited and you come to hear the voice of God through the lips of another in the presence of other children of God? There is a great difference. Even if I came to you as an individual and spoke to you, The impression is different when you are with other people and the same words are spoken to many people. And God knows that. And God insists that His children gather together to praise, to be taught, to study. He says, I want you to have assemblies. And I just read you some of the verses where it speaks about the people of God assembling, coming together. So think of the significance of that. If you have something to tell people, and you want to tell it to 50 people, do you not see the intelligence of having the people to gather together, and you're standing before them and making known to them the message that you have from God? And at the same time, you understand that this, if this is a holy convocation, a holy assembly, do you understand the reverence, the attention, the attitude of heart that should be in you when you come to a meeting like this? The way you dress, the way you behave yourself, the way you listen, all of these things are of the greatest importance because these are holy convocations. And I read you a few verses to show you the variety in the New Testament as well as the variety in the Old Testament when God's children of old gathered together and when, after the Lord Jesus came, they gathered together in different ways. Now, some of these gatherings were for the purpose of God's people giving to Him. And some of these gatherings were for the purpose of God giving to His people. He distinguishes between them. Therefore, when every seventh year, God said, I want all of my people to be brought together, and I want those that are competent to read and explain the Word of God to inform them of the things that are written in my word, that they may know my statutes and my judgment. So this calling together is not for God to get anything. It's for you to get something from God. But I'll give you a simple example. In Deuteronomy chapter 26, God said, this is what you are to do. You are to get a basket and fill it full of fruit, and you are to bring it to me and set it before the altar with the priest, and then you are to make this confession to your God. Now, that is a meeting when God is to get something from you. And this morning, you are here to get something from God. But the meeting before this was a meeting where we gathered together to get something to God. And so there are meetings where we give to God, and there are meetings where we get from God. And inasmuch as this is a ministry meeting, it is a meeting where you are supposed to get something from God. Now, think of this. If this is a meeting where the voice of God is to be heard, then when you come to this meeting, you should come with an open ear, seeking to hear what God will have you to do in your life as a whole, your life this week, your life today. You have that right to come and expect God's servant to minister you the things that God would have you to hear. If it could be said of me, as was said of Haggai, then the Lord's messenger with the Lord's messenger spoke to the people. That is ideal. That you invite a messenger of God to speak, and he has been exercised before his Lord, and he gets a message from the Lord, and he gives you God's message. Then that is what a holy convocation is, when you have a man of God to speak the word of God, God's messenger with God's message. But what is so sad is that many times you come to meetings like this and they're not profitable. And many times, and I'm so glad that we had a good remembrance meeting the last hour, we come together and God gets nothing from us. But how delightful when we come together and God gives to us, and when we come together and we give to God. And we can say, let us praise God together. It speaks about the individual. My mouth shall be full of the praises of God. That is an individual. But it said, come, let us praise God together. And then there is the individual study, and then there is the collective study and teaching of the people of God. And both of these things are essential. And what people fail to understand is that God does not speak just through specially gifted men, but God speaks through all of his people. When the Savior gave gifts, it says he gave one talent and two talents and five talents. If he gave no talent, then you have no right to speak. You have nothing to give to the people of God. You have no talent. But if you have one talent, that is more than no talent. But two talents are more than one, and five are more than two. And so for that reason, since we have some with five talents, let us just get those with five talents to do all the ministering to the people of God. It probably would be enjoyable, but at the same time, it is God who gave one talent to some, and he wants you to listen to those with one talent and with two talents, as well as those with five talents. But what we do is to brush aside the one talented man and the two talented man, and we say, let us get a man with five talents. What we want is a man that is head and shoulders above the people, and he will guide us, he will direct us. But what is so remarkable is this, that God many times will speak through the man with one talent, whereas the one with five talents, being taken up with his own importance, will not convey to you the message of God. Now, let me show you just why you can listen for the voice of God, whoever the speaker may be. When Samuel was a little boy, he was lying in his bed, and God said to him, Samuel, Samuel. And he was so unfamiliar with communion with God, God had not as yet revealed himself to Samuel, that he thought it was Eli speaking to him. And he went and he said, here am I. And finally Eli understood that God was speaking to him. And so he said, you go lie down. And the next time you hear the voice of God say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. And God spoke to this little boy a devastating message to give to Eli. And what did Eli say? I refuse to accept this. You're nothing but a child. God could not speak by you. But it wasn't that way. God spoke through that child. And so God can speak through young Christians, and that God can speak through old Christians. I think of Anna, over 100 years of age, when the Lord Jesus came into the temple, and she went and spoke to all of them that were expecting the coming of the kingdom of God. And so the young can speak God's will, and the old can speak God's will, and false prophets can speak God's will, at times better than the true prophets of God. You say, how can that be? There is nothing more glorious than Numbers 22, 3, and 4, when Balaam, that false prophet, is called to curse the people of God. But God's Spirit comes upon him, and he cannot curse the people of God, and he blesses the people of God. And so false prophets speak the voice of God. And then you'll find that Caiaphas, in John chapter 11, speaks this wonderful prophecy about the necessity of the Lord Jesus dying on the cross. You say, well, how could one that's going to be responsible for his death speak the message of God? It said, he said not this of himself, but being high priest that year, God spoke through that man. And so many times, if you have an open ear, you will hear a false prophet. You will hear demons proclaiming the truth of God. You say, how is that? I told you this before, but take it to heart. I challenge you to show me any demon in the New Testament that ever spoke to the Lord Jesus Christ, who ever said anything that was incorrect concerning his person or his glory. They said, we know you who you are, thou Son of God, the Holy One of God. They always spoke the truth. And so, the finest theology that the modernists today could learn is from what those demons spoke. I did not say other than to the Lord Jesus, but what they spoke personally to the Lord Jesus Christ, all of it is absolutely correct. And for that reason, if a meeting like this is called, and someone who is not of great importance is the speaker, it may very well be that that day God will lift his servant, and in weakness his strength shall be perfected. Now, many times it's not so. I understand better than you, perhaps, but it should be. If I have one talent, and I take that to heart, and in responsibility to God, I do what I can to present the truth of God, God will speak through that man. But for all of us, and this is the great responsibility before me, it says in 1 Peter chapter 4, if any man speaketh, speaking as it were oracles of God. Do you understand that when you come to hear me speak, you can expect that I am to speak as the oracles of God, not to come and entertain you, not to come and give you a happy time for an hour. Not at all. But I am to speak as the oracles of God, and therefore the servant of God must be exercised. He must seek to know what God would have him to speak, and then he must pray that God would empower him, as Paul said, how that our word came unto you, not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. And so a man with one talent can speak that way, as well as one with two or five. But whatever gift you have, you must, before God, conscientiously and serious, to say, Lord, what would you have me to tell them? And by your grace, empower me this day to make it something of interest. And at times, when one who is weak and one who has one talent speaks the truth of God, it grips you more effectively than a more talented man, because you say, how did this happen? Just as they found out that Jesus was a carpenter, but who had more talent than he? But he was a carpenter, and they marveled, and they said, where did this man get such words? And then, when he is and not greatly talented, but he stands before, and God uses that man, then you say, why, this is of God, and his strength is made perfect through weakness. And many times those with great ability will rely upon that ability rather than the Spirit of God, rather than a searching of the Scriptures, knowing the will of God. They say, I am proficient in this area, and I will speak in this area, rather than say, here is an area that I'm not familiar with, I'd better stay away from that. That is why it is good when the people of God are studying a portion, take it that God has guided them to consider that portion, and then go and speak it for them, the exercise before God. But at the same time, and this is what is so hard, when on a Wednesday night I say, what are you studying? And they say, nothing. You have to find something from God yourself to preach to us. Then I have to do a lot more praying. But if you told me what to speak on, such as next week in the will of God, I will speak on Acts chapter 19, then I can simply pray to God to open my eyes to understand what is to be taken up at the prayer meeting. This is what God would have us to understand. So You have a right to expect me to speak as the oracles of God. And I have the right for you to listen and say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. You should come to a meeting expecting to hear the voice of God. And I should come to a meeting expecting to hear the voice of God as much as he enables today. So this is our gathering together. Understand that God is the one who spoke of gathering together. He does not want us to be individuals, separate all the time. At times, yes. He says, go into your closet and shut the door. There are times when you are to be alone. But there are times when God says, gather my saints together unto me. And now let me mention that. Because of all things, in Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, and in 1 Corinthians 5, and in Psalm 50, you have three occasions when it says, gather my saints together unto me. You gather together, and all of those gatherings are for the purpose of the judgment of God. You may change it and make it a Lord's Supper, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. But you simply go from here to there, this way. If God's Son is present, when judgment is necessary, when decisions have to be made, when discipline has to be exerted on a man, if Christ says, when you do it, I am in your midst. Well, how much more when you gather together in his name for the purpose of worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth? How much as well will our Savior be in the midst? But notice, in Matthew 18, we gather together for the purpose of keeping the children of God pure, disciplined, keeping the assembly pure. And just as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not even found among the Gentiles. And Paul says, put that wicked man away from the midst of you. And he says, you gather together, and I am there with you. And so there are times when God's people are to gather together for the purpose of discipline, as in Psalm 50, and in 1 Corinthians 5, and Matthew 18. But fleeing from that gathering, it says in Mark chapter 6, and this is a lovely time, when the Lord has chosen 12 apostles, and he sends them forth two by two, and they have gone empowered by Christ, and they have preached the word of God, and they have healed the sick, and then their hearts are thrilled. As in Luke chapter 10, the ones that were sent forth, they said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in thy name. Their hearts are filled with their ability to serve God with power, with effectiveness. And they come together, and they gather to the Lord. And then, notice, not an individual alone with the Lord, but an individual in the presence of the others gathered together. They rehearse the things that they had done for the Lord, the power that Christ had given them. That is an excellent thing. When God's children who had served him come together, and you listen to another man tell how he has been empowered and used of God, and that will do something for you. It will challenge you. You hear what he has done for God, and then you think of what you have or have not done from God. But there is the purpose of gathering to the Lord to rehearse to him, to tell to one another. And in this instance, Christ indeed was in their midst on earth. But when we gather together, as when Paul and Barnabas came back the first time, they gathered the church together for the purpose of rehearsing unto them the things that they had done on that missionary journey. And so often, when a missionary comes, and this is so sad, many times God's missionaries are not great speakers. And I confess with you, I hope this missionary brings slides and speaks on them. But at the same time, if they have done something for God, they deserve a hearing, and we gather together to hear what this servant of the Lord has done for God and what he has done through them. You see, we gather together for that. And in Luke 24,
Another thing is this. It's not what you have done for the Lord, but it's the Lord is raised from the dead, and now he has appeared unto Peter. He spoke to us all the way to Emmaus, and our hearts burned within us. It's when we come together and we are able to tell to our brothers and sisters in Christ the way that God has revealed himself to us. And if our hearts have been made to burn by Christ speaking to us, if we tell others, then the hearts of the other people of God, their hearts will burn as well. That is of the greatest importance. When we gather together for that purpose, to tell of the experiences that we've had of the Lord, now it would be my fellowship, my understanding and entering into the risen, glorified Christ. That is a glorious thing to do. Now, finally, I will hasten to Acts chapter 20, verse 7. It said, on the first day of the week, when they gathered together, when they came together to break bread. And I could have read to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It speaks about your coming together. You're coming together as the church. And it says, when you come together, it is not possible to eat the Lord's Supper. But all of these things have to do with coming together to remember our Savior. Now, each time we come together, and it's a different way, at times it's for the purpose of discipline. At times, it's for the purpose of rehearsal. But when we come together to break bread, we come together because of obedience and respect and gratitude to simply do what our Savior told us to do in remembrance of him. What do we owe to the Savior who gave himself for our sins in his own body upon the tree? He says, this is all that I want you to do for me. I want you to come, and I want you to worship my Father in spirit and truth. I want you to remember me, and as you remember me, the thoughts that the Spirit of God gives to your heart, I want you to take those thoughts and give them to my Father. Do you know that I am the Lamb of God? Well, tell my Father that I am the Lamb of God. Do you know that I am the bread of God that came down from heaven? Tell the Father about my being the bread of God coming down from heaven. Do you know that my Father said to me, sit at my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet? Then tell my Father about my glorification, that he has determined that in all things I should have the preeminence. And that is why we gather together to break bread. And so if you come to a remembrance meeting, God is there saying, what have you brought to me? At this meeting, you come and you say to God, what have you brought to me? And so some meetings, we come expecting God to give to us. But some meetings we go to, and God expects us to give something to him. And that is the difference between a remembrance meeting and in Acts chapter 12, an entirely different meeting. It is when we go, and it's special. Please notice that. Peter was cast into prison, and the church was gathered together for the specific purpose of praying mightily unto God to him that God would deliver. And God heard their prayer. And then Peter knew that they were gathered together. And so he went and met those that had been gathered together for the purpose of praying for him. And now here comes the answer to their prayer. And I cannot comment any more on that, but it's so beautiful. But look, here are people specifically gathered together at a point to pray. But I told you specifically in Acts chapter 11 that the church was gathered together for a whole year. And Barnabas and Paul told them. Now, it means that not on a rare occasion you come to pray. When something is a crisis, you come to pray. That I think I will go in here if God has anything to say to me today. There is an extended period of learning. And it was for a year at Antioch. And then Paul was in Corinth for a year and a half. And he was in Ephesus for 3 years. And so what we need is constant teaching. And this is what it says in Hebrews chapter 10, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the custom, the pattern, the manner of some is. Can I imagine such a thing? That God has said, there are times when you come and I'm going to speak to you, and you say, I'm not interested in hearing the voice of God. And so you forsake the gathering of ourselves together. And then you come to a meeting like this with no expectation, and sad to say, many times, what you came and what you expected is what you received. Nothing. But if a man speaks as the oracles of God, and if you come reverently listening for the voice of God, then all of God's will shall be done. So let us not look with disfavor, or let us not look with scorn upon the gathering of the saints of God together. Let us come, and let us be blessed, and let us come to give, and let us come to receive, because this is what our Lord would have us to do. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are glad that you tell us the things that we should do. We know that at times we would think it would be better just to stay away because so little is accomplished, but you have told us not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Let us understand that if your Son has said this do in remembrance of me, how serious the forsaking of assembling of ourselves together, and to hear your voice day by day, not only as we individually read, but gather together to hear your servants speak. So, our Lord, we pray that we shall take it together to heart, and that we shall understand about holy convocation, that they are of you, and we are to be there. So, our Father, let your Son indeed be in our midst, and let us be aware of his presence, and bless us, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.